Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening from Fort Lauderdale. This is Nate Klarfeld with Stonewall Live, the best of gay and lesbian book, film, and media talk on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight I have Eva Krause, and I've written a lot about her over the last few weeks. Eva started out, her first part of her life was as a man, and now she is a delightful woman living in Gloucester, did I say that right? Massachusetts.
Gloucester. You've got to get the New England thing going. Yes.
I didn't have the New England thing. I never had the New England thing. I'm a Midwestern. I lived in Kansas for 30 years. Anyway, you've already heard her. Here she is, Eva Krause. Welcome.
Well, thank you so much, Nate. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Okay, we have like 8 million questions, but I'm going to ask the first one, and it has nothing to do with what people are going to... It's like the most unexpected question you're going to get all night.
How did
you decide to go from a career in finance in California, okay? You were like in the finance business in California, to the beauty business. You're an esthetician in...
I'm an esthetician.
I can't say that.
Well,
right.
Yeah, in Massachusetts, yeah. I actually ended up... running a 22-state operation out of New Jersey for an automotive finance company. And, of course, it's quite often is a male-dominated business, and it's a car business, and they don't sometimes do so well with diversity. So it more or less changed for me when I went through transition. And actually it was before – it was just I announced who I was, and that was pretty much enough. And so I decided to go into what I had a passion for, and it is the beauty business. And so I went to school. I'm a veteran, so I used some of my veteran retraining money, and I went to school and went back for aesthetics and nails, and now I'm in the process of opening my own spa.
Wow. Eva Spa. Anyway, did you always have, before you were in finance, before you were married, and before you had children, did you have an idea that you wanted to be in the beauty business? I'm always amazed.
Well,
go ahead.
It's funny. I not so much had an idea about the beauty business, but I started cross-dressing at 11 years old, so I guess the answer would be yes. I had dreams, actually, of being a girl going back to about 6 or 7 years old.
Uh-huh.
And so... I always had an affinity for makeup and clothes and things, and started out with my mom's stuff and my sister's stuff and then my wife's stuff.
Uh-huh.
And it just kind of continued till now it's all my stuff.
Yeah,
and so, so it's just always been something that I've been drawn. Well, clearly it's something that's part of me.
Uh-huh.
And so it's now... I've turned, since I had to remake myself, I mean, no pun intended, but I had to remake myself career-wise, I
uh-huh.
said, I'm going to go into something that I have a true passion for, and cosmetics is really my passion.
Great, great. Well, okay, so, like, how would you describe yourself as a style-type woman, okay? Give me, like, you know, are you, like, you're not a Hannah Montana, I can tell that from your picture. So, give me...
No, I'm a little old for that. I just turned 52, so I'm a little old for the Hannah Montana thing. I don't know. The way I'm dressed in some of my pictures, I've been told I look like Joan Jett or something out of The Matrix.
I was going to say something like that. I was going to say, like, okay, you ready for this? Mother of a goth girl.
Mother of a goth girl. Wow.
Yeah, kind of like,
I don't
know
if my daughters are that edgy.
I don't. Well, no, you're kind of. You have a little edge to you on the pictures. You know, you sent me a few pictures. There's a little edge in there, don't you think? With a little streaky on the hair. You know the straight. The way
well,
the hair.
Well, you know, the hard part is, and when you're a trans woman, the hard part is, especially when you're a midlife transitioner, you never really have the chance to express yourself. And one of the things that you end up having to own is that you're not really 22 anymore, and you really can't do that. So you have to get away from the things that you might otherwise wear, but you can sometimes fashion-wise do 5 or 10 years younger. So I try to keep it to my early 40s, and I have a partner who keeps me very youthful. And so it allows me to keep a little bit of that edge that you're talking about.
Yeah, I like the edge. I mean, I get yelled at all the time. I live in Florida where people misdress all the time. I mean, my son lived down here. One time I was visiting him down in South Beach, and I was walking with him, and he looked at me, and he said, he's 34. He said, Dad, I stopped wearing Abercrombie & Fitch at 30. I looked at it.
Oh, yeah, you don't do like the little alligator thing or anything like that anymore?
No,
the cost? Or, oh, my God, please.
No. I'm 61 years old, and I dress like a 20-year-old, and it drives people crazy. And I know it's just being gay. It's just my gayness. It's okay. And you know, I think you know, people who are not trying to – I'm not going to say the word trying to make a point, but people who are doing a different kind of expression really worry about it more. Don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I just I will say that when you're trans, a lot of people kind of look at trans folks, and we're very sensitive in many ways to how we look, and because you know, we don't usually, when you, looks are important to us, obviously, because we want to make sure, and I hate the term passing, but you want to make sure, if you know, that you can get by. And so typically, we never had the chance to express our femininity. So, yeah, it is important to us. When I go to the supermarket, I look like you see me in my pictures. I'm always, you know, I take the trash out. I've got makeup on. My hair is done. Everything's done. So it is very important how we present. Absolutely.
Right, exactly. I mean, that's what I was going to talk to you about the terms when you said passing, which is, you know, I had never heard the term passing until the movie Transamerica, which I guess kind of opened the doors of normalcy for trans men and women. Don't you think, or am I wrong?
Well, it did in many ways. There were some other films. That was probably because that was done by a major studio. It was a very big film and really portrayed, although everyone's trans experience is different, their journey's unique, it was a very good portrayal of someone going through the process. I mean, there were some things about it that you kind of go, oh, okay. But there were movies like, I mean, Calpurnia Adams did Soldier's Girl, and, you know, of course, Hilary Swank and, you know, Boys Don't Cry, and things like that, which were really terrific mainstream films. But this one was really over the top in terms of it's far reaching out to an audience. And it really did kind of bring trans people much more mainstream and really begin the conversation, I think, about trans people.
I think it did. And it was funny because that was the same year of Brokeback Mountain. Isn't that funny? It was the same year as Brokeback, so it was funny. I remember when I saw that both coming up, I said, boy, you know, the religious right's going to have fun at the Academy Awards this year. But you're right. I do think everyone's journey is different, and everyone has a thing. And you mentioned something about passing, so I'm going to go into the terms right now because
sure.
Let me just tell the audience a little bit about you and how I met you. Eva Rance, is that a good word? Eva Rance. On Facebook, and she
has these
notes.
Yes, I do.
That are, well, they're wonderful rants. That's why I was attracted to you. And her rants are incredibly well written. And if you want to, you know, be her friend on Facebook, you're welcome to, I'm sure. And her rants are incredibly razor sharp, laser right into one point. And a lot of it has to do with not just, you know, being fair and, you know, get the fuck out of, you know, being tiptoeing around the issue, because we need equal rights for all people who have, you know, gender discrimination, and that's what we all have, is gender discrimination. So I am going to go over and ask you some terms and see how you feel about them, okay?
Absolutely.
Okay. Drag queen.
Terrific folks. Gay men and typically a gay male, not always because you have drag queens and drag kings, but typically a gay male who has an over-the-top performance. If you're in the trans community, we generally, unless the drag queen or king has a gender identity issue personally, we generally don't consider them as trans.
Okay. Right. Yeah, I wondered where they fit in and how they relate to you as a group, because I've met some drag queens that don't like the word drag queen. They think that's very, you know, pejorative. That's very negative. That's like calling, you know, a man a pussy, and a pussy is much, much stronger than a dick. You know, I mean, pussy takes a beating and you know, so, and a dick could barely make it through 5 minutes. So, I mean, calling a pussy.
Well, you know, drag, of course, is dressed as a girl, so you're starting with that. I mean, it is, you know, laid out as a performance.
Right, but they rather would like female impersonator. I've been told that like 10 times in my life when I've called people the really hot ones. You know, the really hot ones, the ones that spend like 10 hours and charge lots of money to appear for things. You know, the RuPaul kind of crowd. You know, even though her thing is called RuPaul's Drag Race, she only refers to herself as a she, even when she's dressed in a suit. And I mean, I get really confused with that. I mean, I don't like the gender bending. I'm a man. I like to be called he. You like to be called she. I don't like this, like what guys call other men she. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I don't get into the thing where guys call each other bitches and things like that. As I said, I don't pretend to speak for anybody else. There are so many different interpretations of terms and what's pejorative and what isn't. I speak, you know, ultimately I speak for me. And right. RuPaul can, one of the things in the trans community that we do is we accept as how people identify. And it's very important. I mean, not everyone, and I hate the term passing, and we can talk about that, but
right,
really not everyone in the sense visually passes. And okay. But if someone, let's say they're a girl and they're a trans woman and they're 6'5 and 250 and they go, I'm a girl. We go, okay, you're a girl. We accept.
Exactly.
So I don't want to define RuPaul other than how, and I don't know what pronouns he uses because I don't usually watch his show, but whether he defines himself as a he or a she, we accept. And so we roll with that.
You know, I think we used a term that some of the people in the audience may or may not know what it means. Could you define passing for everyone?
Yeah, absolutely. Passing is, of course, being able to move through society relatively undetected. It assumes that you're comfortable with the gender binary, you know, either all man or all woman, and that you don't look at society as being much more gender fluid. So to pass is to be able to go to the mall, is to be with friends, to be with family, to meet people, and the better you pass, the more you're undetected. And it's akin in many ways to being said, in my community, we talk about being stealth. Now, I have a thing about passing because that's almost as if you're trying to, get over on someone. And it's really, we're not trying to pass as anything. It's not who we're trying to be. It's who we are. I am a woman, and I got there. Born women, natal women, genetic women. We use those terms. Cisgendered is often a term used.
Ooh, I don't like that.
I know a lot of people don't, but it really is a science-related term.
Right,
cis,
I know
coming
it's
from
medical.
Right,
yeah, I know it's a medical term. Yeah, but
right, and in the community, we'll talk about cisgendered people, and so it really is about people. And the way I look at it is every woman is different. They all got to their adulthood a certain way. I got there with a male past. But it doesn't make me any less of a woman. So I try not to use that. We all talk in terms of passing, but I'm not a big fan of that because it almost speaks or hints of a misrepresentation.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It's kind of like you're hiding something when you pass. You're like a spy or something, kind of sneaking into something. Because I live in Fort Lauderdale. There's everything in the crazy salad of everybody in the world. And I have seen women that I know that I would say that girl needs a makeover, and, you know, but I respect her for the guts to get up and walk out the door and be proud and happy and who she is. And so I know that we all have this judgment thing in our heads that we want to say, well, she looks pretty good. Oh, she doesn't look good. But that's not the point. The point is, how much guts does it take to get up and do that, whether you are great at it or whether you are, you know, whether you don't? Because, as I said, some people are 6'5", 250, and, you know, have shoulders the size of a Mack truck. And it just isn't going to, you know, you're just never going to shrink that down. There's a...
Right, that's correct. And I mean, I see a lot of genetic women. I go, oh my God, it's got to be tough to you going out every day. Also, I mean, it's
like that woman
right?
Like the woman on Glee, the one that plays the coach. Yeah, she's a real one. I guess she's a biologic.
Don't ever say real around a trans woman.
I know.
Yeah, she's a biological woman.
I didn't Yeah, I do this all the time, and I get corrected, but I've always told my intent is good. My intent is trying. I mean, I'm
Your
old.
Intent is honorable. If I was there, I would give you a hug, but don't ever say real around a trans person.
I'm sorry. She was born a woman, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't know, but I'm almost sure that she's has not had a transition, and she does
That's
look.
Correct.
And she does look like she is not doing a great job at being very feminine sometimes with that red lipstick and those.
Well, she's perfect for the part, and actually, I've read about her. Her name is Dorothy. Out of character name, Coach Beast, and
right.
She was actually a wrestler. And she was a champion wrestler.
Oh, my God. That's, like, too funny for words. Yeah, that is, like...
Yeah, so she really has a history. But, no, she is a genetic woman. She is a biological woman.
That is great. Okay.
But it's,
go ahead. Well, anyway...
No, it's funny you bring her up because I do get asked a lot about, is she trans? And I'm like, no, I've read about her. She's not.
No, I've read about her too. I mean, I read about all the cast there because I think I'm just like obsessed with. I'm a gleek. I'm sorry, it happens, you know. But you know, but let's go ahead and talk about what now you have had. You're a post-op trans woman. That's what you told me this morning.
Yes.
I did earlier. Okay. Now.
Yes.
That means that you've had multiple surgeries.
I've had gender or sexual reassignment surgery. Now, normally, obviously, I'm very open about who I am, and in terms of asking
right.
questions, I'm happy to educate, and that's obviously why
sure.
we're here. And that's I'm open on Facebook. I'm open in my in
right.
the presentations I do for other groups and things like that. Normally,
sure.
of course, you wouldn't ask someone about their genitals because you wouldn't want to be asked. But
right.
You know, I get asked all the time by people I don't know. They'll go, "Oh, have you had surgery? Why are we going to have sex?"
Right.
Because if not, what difference does it make between what's between my legs?
Right.
But yes,
right.
I am a post-op trans woman, and so yes, I am physically and legally female.
Now, is there a hierarchy? I mean, like in the gay world, you know, we have people who call themselves like not out and not don't go to gay bars and don't identify as being gay, but still have sex with men. You know, kind of down low guys, and then we have guys that kind of like, you know, play
right.
around. And then on weekends, and then during the week, they don't tell anybody they're gay. They're told that they're straight. Do you have a hierarchy in the trans world as far as pre-op, post-op, or never op? I guess there's a group of trans.
Yeah, there's a non-op. That's correct.
Non-op.
I guess I would view it this way, Nate. Is to me there isn't because
okay.
the post-op situation. Is one typically a financial means. I was blessed that I have the capacity to go through the process that is required to access a therapist.
Can we take a call?
To go through, I'm sorry?
Can we take a call?
Oh, absolutely, by all means.
Okay, caller, let's see. Caller 404, you're on the air. Welcome. Caller 404, are you there? Did you press 1?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go
I didn't
ahead.
Realize that I've been put in the queue automatically. Good evening, everyone.
Hi.
Hello there.
Hi. It's Lisa Lee from your
comment?
Facebook page. How are you?
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm doing great, Teresa. How are you? Great to talk to you.
Hi. I just caught the show just a few minutes ago, and I found it very interesting, and I'm glad that you're able to articulate what needs to be said in a relatively clear and straightforward manner. I know a lot of times people just don't get it because there are so many complexities to this. And I just wanted to thank you.
Oh, God, it's my pleasure. Please, I'm a big fan of you know the things that you post, and obviously we're all part of that great diverse community of trans people.
Yeah, more or less, you know, I think we have our differences, but
sure.
you know. The fact that we can put them aside is always a good thing. And, you know, we can always find the middle ground. And I think for me, that's really, really important now is to be able to find the middle ground. In fact, I was chatting with someone earlier today about how, you know, trying to go to one side or the other is not working anymore. And walking the middle path seems to be a lot easier. I wanted to just add one thing about, you were talking just a few minutes ago about the concept of passing self, you know, all of the
right.
accoutrements that go along with it. For me, transition was about coming to terms with myself and integrating myself into society in general. I never really wanted to be some sort of a gender bender. I mean, that wasn't my style, and that wasn't my approach.
Right.
So, you know, the terms are kind of outdated and archaic, honestly. They come from 30 and 40 years ago when the girls, this was kind of programmed into them by the gender centers that they used to attend. And the reality is that I think, and this is my idea, but I think people know. I think that most of society, either they guess something or they feel something, but they know. And for the most part, people either ignore it or they're polite. And there's a very small percentage that, for whatever reason, seem to glum on and, you know, just have to pick us out of the crowd or whatever the reason is. So, you know, for me, I try to ignore all of that and just live my life.
I agree with you. I mean, I think for those that transition very young, whose bodies aren't hit as hard with testosterone and things, the true sense of integration, I think, is a lot easier. They have less physical issues, and they're less ingrained in the gender, whether they're going, you know, whether they're male to female or female to male, but they're less ingrained. Obviously, those of us that were midlife transitioners that have much more of a male past, male mannerisms, an approach to things, it not only involves unlearning a lot of habits, it involves learning a lot of habits. And so I do think the first thing that people look at, unfortunately, we're a visual society. And it's not a good thing, but we are. And so if you're not 6'5 and 240, I happen to be a little bit blessed in that I'm 5'7 and I don't talk about my weight. But I am at 5'7. My features, I've been blessed, are relatively soft. So in terms of the day-to-day things, I don't have too many issues. I don't get, you know, a lot of the things that a lot of my trans sisters and brothers tend to run into. But if you deal with me long enough, sometimes voice or mannerisms or whatever, there are cues that eventually, you know, tend to give you away. And so I don't worry about it so much because I think also, just like I think it is for the rest of the spectrum, for gay men, for lesbian women, for bisexuals and any other folks along whether it's orientation or gender spectrum, I think as time continues to move forward, it will be less and less of an issue. I mean, to be out and gay right now, it still has some drawbacks, certainly, but it doesn't have the drawbacks or stigmas that it had years ago. And here's the issue. I guess I'd add this thought, and maybe you can tell me, Nate or Teresa, if you disagree. For a gay man, for example, the closer you are to the, quote, straight norm is a sense like you pass better, you move through.
Oh,
well,
exactly.
The same is true for a trans person. The closer I guess I get over because I kind of look the part, so you're
right.
A lot of society forgives a lot of things, I guess. You might know that. You think that's true, guys?
Yeah, exactly. I'm working at the Stonewall National Museum and Archive, which is the nation's largest gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgender, no ED on the end of that. It's transgender.
No ED. Right. We still are.
I know, I'm good. library in the country. We are in public space, and I had to do a lot of work to get that library into public space. And I did a lot of lobbying in the county commission, and one day one of these – he was a Republican stockbroker county commissioner, looked at me and said the following. I was just in a suit and always very calm and had all my papers ready and things like that. Never got flamey or anything, no earrings, things like that. He said to me, "Nate, you're the best starter gay I've ever met."
Starter gay? What's a starter gay?
Well,
what does that mean?
That was the first gay I'm in Fort Lauderdale. We had a homophobic mayor, and I was a starter gay. I was the first gay they met. I wasn't a drag queen. I wasn't a motorcycle guy. I wasn't flamboyant. I wasn't Billy Crystal on soap. I'm a retired dentist from Kansas City. I dress very conservatively for all my appearances, and I never got angry, and I never said girl or bitch, which is what they expected. And I was told I was the best starter gay they have ever seen. Now they've seen gays because Fort Lauderdale, so you know, it's got a third of
you. So you're like quote normal. You're almost like one of the real guys.
I'm STR-8 acting.
That's what I
know. Isn't that amazing?
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I thought he meant.
Yeah, that's exactly what he meant. That I, the starter, he didn't know what straight acting meant, but he said I was a good starter gay because he didn't, you know, obviously he wouldn't know what straight acting would mean. But I laughed, and we had this long relationship. We've had a 7-year relationship now, socially and politically, and where he's always just like, you know, puts his arm around me and goes, you know, I just love your date. It was like because I was probably his first gay.
You're Rich Harrison. You always remember your first fondly.
You always remember your first fondly. I didn't want to talk about myself that much because we have 4 minutes left and we have to talk about bathrooms.
Okay, let's talk about bathrooms.
It seems like, and I am so pissed off because it's exactly the same thing about men, gay men being predators, that every fucking Employee Non-Discrimination Act turns into the bathroom bill. Are you as pissed as I am?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's horrendous. And here's the whole thing, is that there has never, ever, ever, since legislation has been passed 20 years ago, that has allowed trans people in many states to use the bathroom of which they present. So if you're a female, if you present as a female, you get to use the ladies' room. There has never been an incident of a trans person perpetrating an act of violence, assault, accosting, lewd conduct, or anything documented. It's been anecdotal, as you and I had chatted a little bit before the show, but there has never been any documented case. However, the reverse is certainly not true. And allowing trans people into the bathroom does not in any way make it legal to commit crimes.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Simple as that.
But it's
crazy. But keep in mind, the bathroom bill is a much larger thing. It applies to public accommodations.
Exactly.
It means that hotels, restaurants, buses, subways, that if you don't pass laws protecting people who are gender variant, allow them to go into public accommodations, it affects all aspects of the quality of someone's life. And quite frankly, jobs are important. Employment's important. Housing is important. But the sign of a society, it's like whites only, blacks only. The sign of a society and how it looks at its disadvantaged citizens is really through public accommodation.
Exactly. No.
Now, keep in mind here, just really quick, Nate, I don't have a dog in this fight. I am legally, physically, everything female. So for me, it's not an issue. But
right.
My point is that it is an issue for a lot of people. It's very real for my trans sisters and brothers that they'd be able to use a restroom for which they present. It's an absolute sign of equality and being able to function in society. And it's a basic right.
Right. I just think when it gets down to the point of a bathroom bill, it's called non-gender discrimination. I mean, it's employee non-discrimination. It's not a bathroom bill. I hate that term.
Well, it is. Well, what is it? It's the same thing about gay men. It was the same thing in the 1950s about having black people, coloreds, African Americans, you know, letting them in to use whites-only facilities or at the lunch counter. Take the attitude. I take the attitude. Your discomfort is not my problem.
Exactly. I say that all the time. I mean, it's not your discomfort will go away when you see 10 of us, not 5 of us, 10 of us. You have to see 10. Teresa, are you still there? Do you have any thoughts about my
rant? Yeah, I sure am. Yes, I'd like to add just one or two things. You know, it's really unfortunate that it has to come to legislation that people just can't, you know, accept. I think that it's a really difficult thing for people. Change comes difficultly for many, and for some it's almost impossible. So I guess, you know, my thing is I'm self-employed. I'm a business owner. And, you know, I believe in pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, you know, and doing everything that you possibly can to help yourself out. The reality is that sometimes you do have to ask for help. And I think that we've come to the point where we're asking for help, you know, in one way or another. And laws like these, you know, I mean, that's unfortunate, but there's a necessity. I mean, even
okay.
I have to admit it.
I agree with you. Listen, we have run out of time, and I am, like, ready to, like, schedule Eva again in a couple of months because I want
to hear. Oh, my God, yeah.
Well, no, I want to hear what happens with your new business. I'm really into the business aspect of this whole thing. Okay, guys, good night. Guys and gals, good night from Fort Lauderdale. This is Nate Klarfeld with Stonewall Live. Thank you and good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night. Night.